blessed Sunday morning to everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ. Indeed, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all celebrate and be glad in it. Join me now as we read Psalms 140 verses 1 to 13. Para po sa paggalang natin sa Diyos, inimbitahan ko po kayo na lahat ay tumayo. Magsitayo po tayong lahat. Okay, let's read. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongues sharp and as a serpent, and under their lips is the venom of us, Selah. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden the trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me, Selah. I say to the Lord, You are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, and they will be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down and violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you for who you are. You are our God Almighty. You cause us today to be here in this place to worship you. And for that, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We also pray, Lord, that everything, every aspect of this worship today be a good to your ear, O God, to your place of throne, Panginoon. Hear us, O Lord, as this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we sing songs of praise to our God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 14 and 17 to 18, we read, Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man show him his counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? All the nations are nothing before him, and they are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare to him? Indeed, nothing can be compared to our God. Let's sing this song. Let's behold our God.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. Oh. creations rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Given counsel to the Lord, who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? All creator, all his wondrous deeds. Risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore.
That is our God, the God we serve. And in Romans 8:31, the Apostle Paul asked this question, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And in the last two verses, he gave a summary answer, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's sing this song, a bit fast song, God is for us.
You will go before us, you will lead. strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Even when I stumble, even when I fall, even when I turn back, still your love is sure. You will not abandon, you will not forsake. You will cheer me onward with never-ending grace. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Height or depth can separate us. Hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his Son to free us holds me in his love. Neither height nor depth can separate us.
God's people say, amen, amen. You may all take your seat.
We are now go to our announcement. Reminders, health and safety protocols during worship services. As we reopen for in-person Wednesday and Sunday gatherings, let us be on our guard with health protocols that are in place to keep everyone safe. Always keep your face mask and face shield on and be mindful of physical distancing. If you have not done so, make sure to drop your contact tracing form after writing down your temperature in it and in the designated drop box before leaving the premises. Kindly exit the sanctuary right after the service. If you must socialize, pick an area that is not congested and has free airflow. For your own safety, we encourage you to bring your own filled water bottle to church. Please make sure that the covers are secured so as to avoid cross-contamination. Water dispenser will not be available. Thank you for your understanding. In-person church services, reminder to always reserve a seat for in-person services each week. Only 100 seats are available on in a per-text, per-serve basis. Once the 100 seats are filled up, you will be given priority to the following week. Only those ages 15 to 65 will be allowed. Text your name to the following cell phone numbers, 0922-246-1282 and 0915-703-3042. So we can prepare the contact tracing form early on Saturday. Cancel your slot as soon as you you are unavailable to make it so that others can take your place. Online children's Sunday worship. We would like to remind everyone that we have an online children's worship every Sunday. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on the GCF East Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worship, worshiping the Lord. Thank you. So we now go to the recognition of our visitors. It is a joy for us to be worshiping with brothers and sisters and friends who have joined us for the very first time here in GCF East. If this is your first time here in our church, kindly stand from where you are seated so we can recognize you and greet you and sing our welcome song for you. Meron po ba tayong first time visitor with us today? In this left side. Wala. And this. So, kung wala man, let us all stand. Please, and let greet one another with a smile, with a wave, or even with a bow as we sing our welcome song. May take your seat now. We will now go to our offering. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 reads, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Giving is one of the many good deeds the Lord has laid for us to do. And we are encouraged to not grow weary in doing it. It is also a way of laying up treasures in heaven. Let us keep that our heart to heart that as we give our offering to the Lord. Let us all pray. O aming Panginoon, purihin ka. Salamat Panginoon sa mga biyaya at pagpapala ng aming pong tinatanggap mula sa iyo sa kabila ng aming mga kasalanan, karumihan. Ngunit dahil sa dakila mong pag-ibig, minarapat mo kaming tumanggap ng iyong pagpapatawad sa pamamagitan ng iyong anak na si Jesucristo ang aming Panginoon na tagapagligtas. Panginoon, nawa Panginoon, maging isang uri ng pagsamba namin sa araw na ito ng buong pusong magkaloob at magbigay para sa Diyos kung ano ang para sa Diyos. At nawa Panginoon, ang lahat ng mga kaloob na ito ay magamit para sa ikasusulong ng iyong dakilang layon sa iyong mga nilikha at sa iyong simbahan. Ang lahat ng ito ay aming idinadalangin ng may pasasalamat sa aming mga puso. Sa tanging pangalan ni Jesus. Amen. As we have been doing since we started our in-person worship service, we request that you drop your offering to the offering boxes located near the entrance of the sanctuary. For those of you who are watching the live streaming of this service, you can still give your offerings through online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc. BPI Peso Current Account Number 4091-004203 or in online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc. UCPB Dollar Savings Account Number 1520000636. Or in through GCFE's PayPal account, you can access at gcf-east.org/give/ in our church website. Thank you and God bless.
As we sing our last song before we give the time to our pastor, in John 10, verses 27 to 30, it reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Indeed, when we are in Christ, when we have a God who is sovereign in all, a God who is for us, we are safe and secure in His love. Let's all stand as we sing, "He Will Hold Me Fast." Thank you very much. You may all take your seat.
Good morning, everyone. For those who are asking, I'm okay. For those who don't know what happened to me last week, natalisod po ako, right? So, but I'm feeling better. I could put weight on my left ankle, but not that much weight, so I need to lose weight. So good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly open your Bibles to Psalm 129. We'll be looking at Psalm 129 as we go back to the Songs of Ascents. Psalm 129, and in reverence as worship to the Lord, kindly stand up and read with me Psalm 129. Psalm 129, a song of ascents. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. You may now take your seats. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful song that speaks loudly of our conviction that whatever happens to us, Christ will hold us fast. We are humbled, Lord. We are privileged. We are honored. We are dumbfounded, Lord, with that truth that no one can take us out of the Father's hand, that no one can take us out of your hand, that the Holy Spirit sealed us. And we thank you, Lord, for how we know that the triune God is and will always protect those who believe in him. We thank you for today. We pray that you'd be with us as we worship you through the study of your word. We desire nothing less, Lord, but to worship you. We desire nothing less but to glorify you. Lord, we ask that you would just preach to our hearts. Allow us to not just be hearers, but doers of your word. And may the preaching of your word, Lord, embrace all of us. That it would change us so beautifully for your glory's sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning again, everyone. On November 27, 2020, a small village in Lemban, Tonggoa, in central Sulawesi, Indonesia, woke up to a very eventful day, one that would stain the whole community's life. Four men died that day. While the COVID-19 death toll has already reached 25,000 in Indonesia, these men did not die of coronavirus or any other sickness. The cause of death of these men, who were strong and able leaders in this village of 13 families, was more brutal than any virus. You see, on that beautiful Friday morning, while the village was about to start their day, 10 armed men with guns and knives viciously attacked this simple, happy village, leaving a trail of destruction and grief. As they entered the village that morning, they started with the first house, and they saw a man and his son chatting, starting their day. Both were burned alive. The armed men went to the next house, where they found a man and his son-in-law. Both men were beheaded and their heads thrown a few meters away from their house. They turned to the next house and burned it. By the way, this is a community who converted to Christianity many years back. That is why this Muslim extremists hate them so much. And before the terrorists left, they burned this community's church. True story, dear friends. Beloved, Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? In John 16, verse 2, Jesus said, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." Now think about what these men were thinking when they were beheading two men, when they were burning them alive. It's all for Allah. Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad," he said, "for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I understand in this side of the Lord's vineyard, we have not faced such persecution, at least not yet. And we praise the Lord for that. But beloved, it will come. It will. And while we may not experience such, in one way or another, we face opposition. We face persecution for our faith. We are maligned. We are mocked. We are scorned. We are picked on for our faith, for our conviction. When we stand up for the truth and righteousness, people would call us holier than thou. When we speak against abortion, people would call us, "Wow, it's her body, not yours." When we stand up for homosexuality, we will be branded as hateful people, narrow-minded, those who are homophobic. Dear ones, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Why are we saying this? The psalm before us, as we go back to the songs of ascents, is a psalm about persecution and affliction. It is a psalm about trouble. Remember the pattern of our study? As we look into these songs, 15 songs, and we said they are sort of divided. Seems like they are divided into 5 sets of 3s, and each set would have trouble, trust, triumph. The last time we were together, we were looking at a psalm of triumph. Psalm 128 is about God's many blessing. Oh, the many blessednesses, right? To those who fear Him, to those who walk in His ways. And now as we continue this study, these songs that the Jews sing on their way to and or from Jerusalem to worship 3 times a year during Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, we need to understand that as the pilgrim goes up to the holy city to offer sacrifices, to worship God, he remember the past deliverances of Yahweh. He remembers that. That's why he's there. He's thanking God for them. And he's praying to God to continue on doing so. He prays confidently for God's continued protection, preservation, and provision. Derek Kidner, as he comments on this, says this, and I quote, "Whereas most nations tend to look back on what they have achieved, Israel reflects here on what she says, what she has survived. It could be a disheartening exercise, for Zion still has its ill wishers. But the singers take courage from the past, facing God with gratitude and their enemies with defiance." And I say amen to that. Now again, the context of the psalm that we're looking at is talking about historic Israel. But the general principle, friends, that we can glean from this applies to everyone who believes in God. Those who fear Him, those who delight in His ways, those who are followers of God, those who live for righteousness' sake, those who would be facing opposition, those who would be facing affliction from this hostile world. We are two-thirds of the way. Two-thirds na tayo. As we go to Psalm 129, and I know this is rather hard to be discussing about this. And listen, this may be personal to you. We will be talking about pain and suffering, and most especially suffering for your faith. What should you do? What should we do when we are being persecuted for our faith? When we are suffering for being followers of Jesus? When we are being afflicted for our convictions? Psalm 129 teaches us two things that we ought to do in these times of struggles. Psalm 129, we would see, is divided into two stanzas. Two stanza, two heading. The first heading would see, what should believers do in times of affliction? We should persevere through affliction. This is found in verse 1 to 4. Then the writer goes on and say, we should pray through these afflictions. Found in verse 5, verse 8. Are you being persecuted for your faith? Are you struggling right now because you're a born-again Christian? Are you being mocked? Are you being scorned? Dear ones, listen to the wisdom in Psalm 129 as we are encouraged to persevere through affliction and to pray through afflictions. Let's look at the first heading. Kindly look at verse 1. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. We can only guess what's going on. We can only guess what was the occasion that prompted this psalmist to write this song. Did you notice it's written in the first person? Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. So these words speak of personal pain. This is very personal, dear friends. But it is a pain that is shared with all Israel. A kind of corporate or national lament. Since the psalmist invites everyone to repeat with him, let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Therefore, it recalls a time when not only the psalmist, but all of Israel are oppressed by their enemies. Yung writer, inalala niya. He recalls the long years of suffering Israel has experienced, stretching back even as early as when they were founded as a nation. It goes back to slavery in Egypt, the wanderings in the wilderness, the battles in Canaan, continual fighting with the Philistines and other nations. Remember the exile under the Assyrians and the Babylonians? The history of Israel was one conflict after another. Look at that verse again. The phrase, greatly have they afflicted me, in King James is rendered this way, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, emphasizing the many waves of persecution the Israelites had endured even from the beginning. Listen to Charles Spurgeon. I like how he is commenting on this. And he said, I quote, many a time, Israel says, because she could not say how many times. They lost count already. He speaks of her assailants as they, because it would be impossible to write or even know all their names. Many a times, they have afflicted. That word afflicted, oppressed, attacked, has a picture of being bound, being in a narrow way, or being in distress. The idea is being confined, of being pressed, trapped, with no way to escape. Pag ganun sitwasyon mo, if that is your situation, it's easy for us to say, I give up. right? But God's people persevered. And God's people will always persevere. Why? Verse 2 sums it up in a single statement. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. How is that so? Look at verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. So inasmuch as this is a song of lament, a song of trouble, this is not a song of someone who has given up. Yes, he is in distress. Yes, he is being persecuted, but he is persevering. And as he perseveres, he writes this song, he understands. He has a good theology of suffering. Again, the specific situation that the psalmist addresses here is that of oppression. We don't know the details, right? So I think we see that this principle applies to any one of us, every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ, who are going through some troubles, whether it's persecution or probably relational problems, emotional distress. With Christ, you too can persevere through your pain. Look at those verses again, will you? Again, did you notice that phrase that Israel say? Didn't we hear that before? Psalm 124, verse 1 to 2. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. Friends, the repetition is here for emphasis. And the invitation that Israel say makes this a lament, a conviction of the whole nation. Friends, perseverance is not just for the special few. It's not just for the psalmist. It's for everyone in the nation. This psalm is for you. This psalm is for me. This psalm is for all God's people. And as we go through some struggles, all of us can say, whatever the source of our pain is, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Again, the writer recalled that though wicked men had greatly oppressed him and his nation, they have not gained the victory over them. Israel is a survivor. Israel exists still today. Have you ever stopped and considered, diba, the nation that you read in the Bible? Israel is still here. From Exodus to the wanderings, to the Babylonian captivity, to the time of Esther, remember? The time of Esther, wherein we see a decree saying, wipe them out. Remember the Six-Day War? Israel against Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. Some say Russia is in the mix there. The Jewish people have survived so many attacks over the years. Some of you may know or may be familiar to some Jewish people, some people of Jewish descent. I used to work for a Jewish company, Magic Softwares. Some of your favorite Hollywood stars are of Jewish descent. Adam Sandler is one. I'm not promoting his movies, by the way. Steven Spielberg is from an Orthodox Jewish descent. Natalie Portman is another. Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, is from Israel. Let me ask you, how many Philistines do you know? How many Ammonites do you know? I believe the survival and the continued existence of Israel is a testimony that the God of the Bible is the one true God. So here is the application for us today. You can suffer pain without suffering defeat. When we go through struggles, we are hurt. We are in pain. But when we are in pain, that doesn't mean that we are defeated. You can be down but not out. You can persevere through the pain. Again, let me ask you, are you going through some afflictions because of your faith? Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's from your mom. Maybe it's from your dad. Maybe it's from your spouse. Maybe it's from your kids. Maybe it's from your friends. Maybe it's from work. Maybe you are overwhelmed with the pain. Take heart, beloved. You may be suffering now, but you can suffer without being defeated. As we study, as we look at this psalm, I can't help but be reminded of Paul's convictions. Go to 2 Corinthians, verse 4, chapter 4 rather. Let's start with verse 8 to 9. Let's start with verse 7. Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." If you go to chapter 11, starting with verse 28, Paul gives us an inventory of all his troubles. From verse 27, he says, "In toil, hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." Verse 24, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Five times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers on rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers." Friends, why is Paul writing this? Why is Paul giving us a list of all his trouble? He's listing them down not because he's complaining. Paul recorded that catalog of affliction as an act of praise. "This has been happening to me, but I am persevering." That is the spirit of this psalm too. This is a declaration of the sovereignty. Listen, the sovereignty and justice of God. Sa unang tingin, it would sound defeated, di ba? At first glance, it would sound defeated. But no, it is triumphant. Paul knew suffering. The writer of Psalm 119 knows suffering. Let me ask you, do you know suffering? Eugene Peterson says, "The person of faith outlasts all the oppressors." Whatever it is that you're going through, be it oppression because of your faith or just because of the general hardship of life, always remember we can suffer pain without suffering defeat. So persevere through it, friends. And did you know that persevering has benefits? You say, what benefits? Yes. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 2 onwards. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Friends, struggles, hardships, persecutions, and afflictions are faith builders. And when we can't understand, and there are many times that we don't understand why things are happening to us, James went on. Verse 5, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We may suffer, but we are not defeated. Thus we persevere in sufferings, because they build us up. And at times, when we look at that suffering, it is a blessing. Verse 12, James 1, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." Let's go back to our song. Kindly notice the imagery that the writer has used to describe their affliction. Look at verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. This is a word picture here. Not only had it been very difficult, but the oppressors, according to the psalmist, are very cruel. The picture here is of a wicked running their plow over their backs. Imagine nyo, inaararo likod nyo. Imagine lying face down in the field and then sharp blades will go up and down your back. And it says the furrows were long, meaning the suffering occurred over a long period of time. They extend the length of their lacerations as far as they can possibly can. Dear ones, as we read, as we see this language, not only does this describe the wicked being ruthless, it has a picture of the wicked doing this and they're loving it. Some of the men who were there in Indonesia were smiling while the rest of their cohorts were burning two men. I saw the video of that event. Of course, they didn't show the graphic. This can't help but be humbled by that. How much are you willing to die for your faith? The picture there is grotesque, brutal, very graphic. The psalmist says, they have afflicted me from my youth. Many a times they have afflicted me from my youth. And it's as if I am their plowing field and they're going up and down my back with their sharp blades. Did he give up? Look at verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. The suffering was painful. The suffering was prolonged. But now it's over. Yahweh is just. He is righteous. And He has delivered them, according to this song. The image is of the Israelites being in bondage, bound by their wicked enemies with cords or ropes. Then the Lord cuts the rope, and they are free. Again, as we hear this language, doesn't this remind you of another song of ascent? Psalm 124, verse 7. The snares have been broken, and we have escaped. Psalm 125, verse 3, the scepter of the wicked will not remain. And so what we have here is a picture of a broken snare in Psalm 124, a removal of the scepter of the wicked in Psalm 125, and in Psalm 129 we see the cords have been cut, telling us, friends, that if you suffer, and we will suffer, God is sovereign and He has set a limit for your suffering. That your pain is temporary, and that the wicked will not always rule over the righteous. Therefore, we persevere through affliction. Because we may suffer, and we may seem like we are defeated, but we're not. We know that suffering has their blessings. We know that suffering have limits. God is just. And in His time, sufferings will pass. In the New Testament, we read this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The word translated tempted in that verse can also mean tested. Whether you are being tempted by sin or being tested by pain, God is faithful. And He will not let you be tested. He will not let you go through suffering beyond what you can bear. God will break the snare. He will not let the scepter of the wicked remain. He will eventually cut the cords of the wicked. Napansin niyo yung language? It does not read that He untied the cord. Because when you untie, diba? Pag nakagapos ka, when you are untied, there are chances that you can be tied again. The language there, friends, He has cut. God has set a limit for your suffering, so therefore we can persevere because God is faithful. Before we go to the next heading, let me just ask you to look at verse 3 to 4 again. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. I can't help but think about Jesus. Jesus not only suffered on the cross, He experienced great pain on His way to the cross. The language of verse 3 makes me think of the scourging of Jesus. The Roman soldiers cut deep furrows in His back with their whips and their scourging. As you read this, kindly listen to the suffering servant as prophesied in Isaiah. Isaiah 50 verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. Other translation says, by His stripes. And that may refer to the stripes or the deep lacerations that Jesus' back took from the cruel whipping of the soldiers. By Christ's wounds, by His stripes, we are forgiven. We are spiritually healed. Jesus suffered extreme pain voluntarily for us, dear ones. He persevered through the pain to pay the penalty of our sins so that we could be saved. When you are going through some afflictions and you are persevering through these afflictions, remember Jesus and the lacerations and the beating that He took. It would be helpful for us as we persevere through the pain. Jesus identifies with us in such suffering to enable us to trust Him to see us through. Let me ask you again. Are you going through some struggles? It may be in the same magnitude as those people in Indonesia or as this writer has suffered. But in one way or another, we are going through some hardships. Take heart, dear ones. Persevere through afflictions. Because you may be suffering, but you're not defeated yet. Suffering has blessings. They are faith builders. God is sovereign. He has set limits to your suffering. Look to the cross to enable you to go through these sufferings and persevere. Beloved, we were called to suffer. You may not be suffering for your faith right now, but it will come. You may be facing just oppositions or oppressions, but it will come. In Jesus' last words of rebuke and condemnation to the Pharisees, He said, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town. Did you hear that? Jesus is prophesying. Jesus is saying that this is what's going to happen to his followers. The persecution of his disciples was part of his plan. That is why in the gospel we will hear him say, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let me share with you my heart, dear ones. It breaks my heart to see the church nowadays try to look like the world to win the approval of the world. Jesus said the world will hate us. Jesus said persecution and world's contempt is inevitable. One thing that weakens the testimony of the church is trying to please the world. Trying to not be offensive to the world by not preaching the truth, the whole truth, and the whole gospel truth. Trying to win the world by being so likable. By being so entertaining. Pardon my passion. Pulpits have now become stages for motivational speeches rather than pulpits being pulpits with men who preach the Word of God faithfully. Churches are so busy nowadays with programs rather than being serious about God's Word. It broke my heart when I saw, remember, Netflix? When Bird Box became a blockbuster, there was a church who had a Bird Box worship service, who gave out blinders, or what do you call that? Piring. Para saan? Because the Bird Box movie has the characters blindfolded. And therefore, they would say, oh, so that they would be more attuned and in tune to God with no distractions. If you don't want any distractions, preach the Word. There was one church who rode the bandwagon of Star Wars with a preacher dressed as Han Solo. What if the next big movie is Planet of the Apes? Part 3. Dear ones, I'm scared for the church to even think about trying to win the world by looking like the world is outright infidelity. Outright unbelief that Christ is enough and His Word is the power unto salvation. Friends, we are followers, not fans. And we understand and we believe in Christ when He said, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a faithful believer, you will suffer. But you are safe. But you are safe. Jesus said, in the world there will be troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Though the world mistreats you, Christ has already conquered the power of the world and the world system. He has cut the cords of the wicked. So what should you do in times of affliction? What should you do in times of persecution? We persevere through affliction. This leads us to our next heading. In times of affliction, believers should persevere, and believers, as they persevere, should also pray through the affliction. Look at verse 5 to 8. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. Nor do those who pass by, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Now, I must admit, this stanza is quite hard. Because what we have here are prayers that seems to be against people, right? This is an imprecatory prayer. And people would say, aren't we supposed to love our enemies? Is it okay to pray against them like this? Again, imprecatory prayers are everywhere in the Bible. We got Psalm chapter 5, Psalm chapter 6, Psalm 11, 12, 35, and the list goes on. But the most important thing as we look at this prayer is to remember whenever you get to imprecatory prayers, prayers are directed against God's enemies rather than your enemies. Now, they may be your enemies as well, but the focus of imprecatory psalms or imprecatory prayers are against God's enemies and against their success, which makes sense, diba? Would you want God's enemies to prosper? I don't think so. So in verse 5 to 8, the psalmist reminds us that through God, though God's people will be hated, haters will be haters, sabi nga, diba? Their haters will eventually lose. Let's look closely to these prayers. Look at verse 5. May all who hate Zion be put to shame. Those who hate Zion, we already have established that Zion is synonymous to God and His people, God's people. So it's saying, may all who hate God's people, God and His people, be put to shame. It's a prayer for them to be shamed by defeat and ultimately for God's victory, diba? Now, for some of us, this seems unloving. Yes, it's worded harshly and ruthlessly against the ungodly. But take a look at that psalm. Take a look at that verse. It's also a prayer for the very thing that the haters of God need the most. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turn backward. Listen, the best thing that happened to me was when God put me to shame. When I realized that I'm not the captain of my soul, that I'm not okay, that without Him I'll be going to hell, that I'm not as wonderful as I thought, that life does not revolve around me. Oh, how beautiful it is when God saved me. Friends, this is a prayer for God's enemies to not be prospering, but it's also a prayer for the wicked to go to repentance, right? This is what the wicked need, to be put to shame and turned backward. And so whether God chooses to show them mercy by granting them repentance or give them the ultimate judgment that they deserve, either way, this is precisely what they deserve. This is a loving prayer. He will put them to shame and turn them backward. Look at verse 6 as we look at this second prayer. And again, the writer uses imagery here. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. In their time in Israel, they don't have triangular roofs. They have flat roofs, okay? And at times, the roof would have soil and dust on them. And so, for a time, because of the moist, some plants would sprout out of that ground on the top of the roof. But since the plant's roots are not deep enough, the gardener need not spend time to pluck them out. That is the imagery here. Though some grass might sprout for a season in shallow dirt, it would soon wither because of the beating of the sun. The grass would grow, but they would be useless. Hindi na kailangan ng reaper. The psalmist then, in this prayer, is praying that his enemy's plants be scorched and be fruitless. For the enemies to harm God's people no more. Finally, when you look at verse 8, nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. What was he praying for? That they would be put to shame and they would be turned backward. And the picture there is either God grants them repentance, they would be put to shame, and then they would repent. Or God would definitely put them to shame and punish them for their plants to not prosper, to be like the grass on roofs that would not propagate. Then he goes on, nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Now, that phrase, the blessing of the Lord be upon you, is a standard greeting for the Jews. It was kindness even to strangers. Remember Boaz? But Ruth? I hope you haven't forgotten Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Even that sort of general courtesy is ultimately withdrawn for the stubbornly wicked. Psalm 128 is a psalm of blessing. The blessing of Psalm 128 is contrasted in the lack of blessing in 129 for the wicked. Friends, we must remember that the Lord is just. And he is right to condemn the wicked. And he will not sweep sin under the rug and remain holy. So it's wise for you to fear him. Friends, as we look at these prayers, as the writer was praying against God's enemies, it's actually a prayer that expresses concern for God's kingdom. To pray for the wicked to not prosper is a prayer for God's kingdom to propagate. This psalm reminds us that everyone is either under a curse or under God's blessing. For we once were like the wicked. For we once were mocking other believers. For we once were living for ourselves. For we once were deserving of his wrath. Friends, it's either you have curse or blessing. There are no other options. The way one goes from curse to blessing is through the one who suffered the beating. To the one who was scourged and flogged. Through the one who has no sin but made to be sin for us so that his righteousness would be imputed to us. Friends, as we survey the whole storyline of the Bible, we must remember that this prayer is in the grand scheme of things. It's a prayer of love. Why did God send his son? Because of the wicked. God's preservation of his afflicted people led to the coming of Jesus Christ. Diba? Why were the Israelites preserved? Because Jesus would be coming from the Jews. And so, friends, as we look at this psalm, don't ever think that you are not part of this psalm. Yes, it's talking about historic Jews. They were preserved, they persevered, and they still exist. Imagine if they perished then. Right? For God so loved the world that he preserved his people so that through Jesus all the ends of the earth may be saved if they believe in him. That's love. Diba? In conclusion, how do believers in Jesus Christ endure affliction? We endure with prayer. We remember that affliction is part of our faith. We remember that Jesus identifies with us in suffering, therefore we ought to look to Him. We take comfort in knowing that the Lord stands with us in our suffering. He understands. We remember that through Christ, we have been redeemed, formerly wicked, but now blessed. And we live with confidence knowing that the reign of the wicked would have an end. Remember the village in Indonesia? When they were interviewed, they were interviewing the widows and those who were left. They were asked, would you abandon your faith now? They were mourning for their loss, but they said they have never been more sure of their conviction than ever. They understand that the world we live in is in hostility towards the gospel and God's people, but they are resolved. They are convicted to persevere. Let me ask you, are you? Are you? What should we do when we are afflicted? We persevere and we pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the example of this village. Yet they persevered, Lord. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would provide for them. Lord, we ask you to humble our hearts, to convict our spirits, to understand the truth that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Thank you that we have your word to give us comfort. We have your example to follow. In all honesty, Lord, if you would ask us if we are willing to die for you, most of us may not be certain. And so, Lord, we pray that you would build our faith. We pray that you would deepen our faith. Oh, we pray that we would be found lovers of your word and lovers of the living word, so that when struggles and persecution comes our way, we would persevere. And through persevering, we would be found praying. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Thank you for teaching us your truth. We are humbled, Lord. And as we go back to our respective homes, we pray that we would live for you, ever regardless of the opposition, ever regardless of the affliction. Bless us now as we depart temporarily this place. May God, who is sovereign, may God, who in his providential care saved you in spite of you, find each one of us living for him, even willing to die for him. Wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we go. In Christ's most pressing prayer, amen and amen. Thank you, everyone. You are dismissed. Ingat kayo. I'll see you all next week. God bless you.